Elsewhere, the psalmist writes that the Lord has been his God forever, even from his mother's womb, in Psalm 22, 9 through 10. Yet thou art he who didst bring me forth from the womb. Thou didst make me trust when upon my mother's breast. Upon thee I was cast from birth. Thou hast been my God from my mother's womb. So even in the embryonic or fetal stage, there was the sense of God's hand and God's accountability in the psalmist's life. So this is vividly illustrated in the eloquent passage in Psalm 139:13 through 16. For thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. So it's as if the Spirit of God had taken a divine fiber optic probe, reached into the womb, revealing the tender, all-powerful presence of God at work in the fetus. For thou, speaking of God, didst form my inward parts, thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. His word picture describes the internal network of tiny organs that were formed by the Creator while the psalmist was in the womb of his mother. Verse 15 mentions my frame, clearly a reference to the bony structures, the skeleton, the bones, which would have to do with the height, the stature, and the physique of the unborn child. Charles Swindoll noted, quote, I wish time and space permitted me to describe the anatomical beauty, the variegated colors that are represented in the Hebrew words. It is pictured in the original language as if the bones and the arteries, the muscles and the structures of the body are all divinely woven together. In addition, his personality was being designed along with other details like facial features, color of hair, the color of eyes, right down to the toenails and fingernails, eyelashes and eyebrows. Small wonder he exclaims that he is fearfully and wonderfully made. Though tiny, the fetus receives God's careful attention. So we'll just to pause and look at three lessons that we just discovered, that God sets apart human life as unique, distinctive, and valuable. He therefore preserves and protects human life as no other life on earth. And that kind of life begins at conception and continues to develop in the womb where God is at work, shaping the child into the precise kind of person he desires him or her to be. In the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke, it mentioned that what was being formed in Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in fact the holy offspring or the Son of God, Luke 1:35, not mere fetal tissue. And when Mary later stands before Elizabeth, her relative, and informs her that she is pregnant, what happened to the baby inside of Elizabeth? In Luke 1:41, the baby leaped in her womb. And the word that's used for babies inside in this passage and in other passages, inside the mother's womb, in Scripture, all throughout Scripture, it's the same. It's the same word that is used for babies after birth. There's absolutely no distinction. Both are called baby. And the words used to describe pregnant women in Scripture is the same word used to describe them after the baby is born, and that word is mother. I just want to talk a little bit about some of the short and long-term consequences of abortion that women are absolutely kept in the dark on. Depression. Feelings of guilt, grief, and shame. Some even become so hopeless that they actually commit suicide. There's a much higher risk, higher rate of suicide among women who have had abortions than those who have not. This is not the picture of freedom. It's not the picture of power, as the culture would try to portray the freedom of choice, the constitutional right to abortion. It's absolutely a picture of desperation It's a picture of agony. And I think, I personally believe that all women eventually experience it. Some experience it right away, and some experience it years later. God's plan is not for that. God's plan is for freedom. It's for healing. And we're going to talk about that coming up. So if you're dealing, if you have dealt with this in the past, there's hope. Other complications, consequences are pain, infection, perforated uterus, hemorrhaging, and absolutely death of the mother. There are still women dying after having abortion as a complication of the abortion. Increased risk of premature births and future pregnancies, which leads to risks to their future children, including cerebral palsy and respiratory problems and other complications of premature birth. Infertility, a complete inability to conceive children in the future, significant increased risk of developing breast cancer. And this is a huge, it's tens of scientific studies have shown this, and it's absolutely kept from women before they consent, before they submit to an abortion. Breast cancer is the only cancer in America that has been continuously increasing in prevalence and decreasing in age. And scientific research shows that the reason for that is the prevalence of abortion. And it's not just a vague correlation. They know the exact scientific, they know why. They know the exact process that is involved in developing the cancer. So there's untold short and long-term consequences for women. They're absolutely held in the dark. And some of the, actually, the women of the early women's rights movement in America were all, without exception, extremely pro-life, vehemently pro-life. They all understood that abortion is, as I quote Alice Paul, who helped write the original Equal Rights Amendment and worked 50 years for its passage, called abortion, quote, the ultimate exploitation of women. And it continues. And just to sort of bring a little perspective to this, to make it a little more personal, when we were talking with Leomar about what we were going to be talking about, and she asked us if it would be helpful if she gave a testimony, so we absolutely think that that is going to be helpful, just to make it real.
In my life at that time. I was about 34 years old and the heights of my career, very young, making six figures, top of life. I wrote this letter. A doctor, a pediatrician, was giving a four-week series about abortion at the church that I used to attend in Gaithersburg. And on the third message, I went home and I wrote all night and cried myself out to sleep. And this is what I wrote. This was written on the year 2000 to my unborn child. My love, it has been almost 5 years since that tragic day when I decided to end your life. I thought that emotionally I had taken care of you, but God had revealed in very clear ways that you're not gone. I was terrified, and at the time, ending your life was the only way I thought would save it all. how wrong I was. I looked in the yellow pages, called the Planned Parenthood facility, and within three days, you were gone. The day it happened, I waited for 30 minutes in the lobby filled with people. Everyone had a scared and somber face. One after the other, women were called in. I felt like cattle going to be slaughtered. Then my name was called. I went into a 5-minute counseling session where they asked me if this is what I wanted to do. I said yes. I couldn't see any other way out of this mess I had created. Today, I know that fear is not from God, but from the devil, who toys around with our minds and our consciousness, making us feel desperate and hopeless. Now I wish I had spent more time counseling about more or other alternatives. I went into the changing room, put a robe on, and waited in this little room the size of a dressing room. I was scared. A few minutes later, when they called me, I went into this brightly lighted room where 5 people waited with big smiles. I lay down on the operating table. They placed the IV on my arm, and the next thing I know, I was in the recovery room in excruciating pain. You were gone. I hemorrhaged for weeks and got very sick. At that time, I decided to take you off my mind forever. But God works in mysterious ways. Last year, out of the 3,000 member congregation, I was approached to volunteer at 2 of the local pregnancy centers. This is when I started to realize how much I missed you, but still didn't want to deal with it. I thought I was fine. I could handle it. But it wasn't until Dr. Pedreira started on his Wednesday night series that I started to feel the pain of this enormous loss. See, I never thought about you. I never thought about your feelings. I never gave you a chance to feel what it's like to be loved, to play in the snow, to play with your brother, to hold you when you're scared, to sing you a lullaby, to watch you grow. How easy it was for me to think of you as an inconvenience. Now I yearn for you, my little one. Please forgive me for not thinking about you. Please forgive me for my selfishness. Please forgive me for never telling you I love you. Please forgive me for not letting you live. I know that you're in heaven, and that someday, my little one, with angel's wings that spread wide, we will be together again. And you will say, Mommy, let's recover lost time. Can you sing me a lullaby? I love you, my little one. For now, I have to say goodbye. I need my healing to begin. I need to set you free. I need to set myself free. I know that God has forgiven me, but now I realize that it has been hard for me to accept His forgiveness. This is my first step toward healing, my love. God will set us free. I'll see you in heaven, my little angel. Your mommy. I left this letter at the office door taped anonymous. God turns horrible things into beautiful things. I had no idea that when Dr. Pedreira read the letter, he turned around and read it to the 3,000 people congregation and tons of people came for help. After my abortion happened, within the year, I was diagnosed with HPV, cervical tumors. And I went through surgeries after surgery. And it is amazing because not until 2000, every 6 months I was being checked for HPV. And in 2000, when I put this letter and started my 6 month counseling, HPV was present there until the letter was written and the healing began. And then everything else after that, I was clean, it was dormant. It is amazing to me, and it angers me, that politicians say that this choice doesn't affect the woman. The shame, the guilt, the self-worth is so, the wounds are so deep that they are the type of wounds that are so painful that you just try to just shove them down somewhere where you don't feel them anymore until they come up. I ask you, teenagers, the best way to prevent this horrible pain, is abstinence, guys. For couples, don't go outside your marriage. After I started my healing, before Liana, I lost one baby, miscarriage, because my uterus was compromised. And after Liana, I lost two more in between Liana and Kaylee. This is an important issue that we cannot just look aside and just ignore. This is something that all of us need to get involved with. There's a lot of women out there that are in pain. There's a lot of lack of knowledge. I had no idea. The choice, pro-choice people have so many advertisements and so much money that's the only choice that I thought it was available. So we need to make sure that our children and not so children, I had it when I was 34, know the choices. I encourage you guys to get involved. Thank you.